As is customary, we pause a few moments for silent prayer before resuming our study. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to study your word, to inculcate within our souls immutable truth, pertinent not only to the present hour, but infusing in our inventory of ideas the advance in your perfect plan. We thank you for the challenge as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are on page 271, and I think we left off somewhere around point 15. I can't remember, but that'd be good for the review. This section here is going to take into consideration some of the things that are presently going on in Client Nation America. They provide the illustrations, and of course we will leap on an illustration to aggrandize what the Bible has to say textually. There have been client nations in the past that have risen and then fallen. I mentioned that in the first session. And therefore the Jews just couldn't hold the thing together for themselves, and so they're out of the picture. And then the Gentiles took over and has moved all the way to the Western Hemisphere. And as a result of that, we are in a situation presently where client nation status is now under attack. It's not unusual about that. This is the devil's world. We are in the appeal. The appeal is supposed to determine whether or not Lucifer will be able to conquer this planet, or whether God will be able to hold it together with the use of those who are positive volition to the Word of God. All the failures that have preceded our client nation status have failed. So ultimately, Jesus Christ is going to have to come back and straighten things out. I say that nervously because it would imply that I am forecasting the rapture. Well, look, the rapture is the next prophetic event on the prophetic calendar. Paul thought it would happen in his day. I'm not telling you that the rapture is about to occur. Paul was wrong about that. He thought it would happen while he was alive, and of course it didn't. And I'm not suggesting it's going to happen in our lifetime. I'm telling you it's the next event on the prophetic calendar. So if you wonder how things are going to work out, it's going to work out just fine. And it may be another 1,000 years before he comes back, and that is his business and his call, but we do not have the gift of prophecy. So if you think the rapture is about to occur, then you need to bring evidence. But you don't have the gift of prophecy either. So you just have to keep plugging away. This is still the church age. And as long as it's the church age, your duty is to stay in fellowship, grow in grace, make application, and never, ever fear. You do not have the option of fear. So what if they kill you? Absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. So you have no fear. Don't you want to go be with Jesus? This is an opportunity for you. Never fear. Get inside the bubble. We have duties to perform in the devil's world. He is the witness for the defense and all of his minions. We are supposed to be witnesses for the prosecution, and you do that inside the bubble. You can't do it from a standpoint of fear. Fear is not an option. I feel better now. Joe Henry, tell me where I left off.
You actually did 15 and we're about to do 16.
Well, I think I ought to do 15 again just to review. God delivers those who are under assault, and he also destroys those who are under assault by another aorist active infinitive, this time a polemy. This verb is applied to those who are out of control by applying the curriculum learned in the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. Where is this Cosmic Academy? The devil's world. That's what cosmic means. Cosmos. This is the devil's world. He runs this show. You just thought Jesus ran the show here. No, You are left. Jesus is in heaven. He got out of this mess. He left us in charge. Think of that. Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. Get that? That's you. You do not have the option to be afraid. You are left here as witnesses for the prosecution. Jesus will come back and straighten this out, but you need to forget about that happening tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow, but you don't have that option to say this is going to happen. You don't have that. So we're left here to do the duty in the hostile environment of the devil's world, and our confrontation is with the dark side. It's always been that way since Eden. Point 16, this is the devil's world. You're not wanted here. It has fallen and functions under the rulership of Lucifer. Throughout history, from the fall in Eden to the millennial kingdom of Christ, this rebel angel seeks to propagandize witnesses for the prosecution with his cosmic propaganda. Boy, is that true. I can tell you for a fact that people go to church all the time. They show up on Sundays. They may even go to Sunday night. Might have some, ringers that go on Wednesday for the prayer meeting. And that's the extent of their inculcation. Now, am I bad-mouthing them? No, I'm just telling you what the lay of the land is. Believers are not doing the duty. They're not growing in grace. They're not inculcating the inventory of ideas that are found in the immutable scripture, making that a part of their decision-making. How can you apply what you do not know? You cannot do that. And this is evident in the fact that we are under assault from the dark side, and he's good at it. He's never failed to take down a client nation so far, with this being the lone exception on the drawing board right now. And you're the ones that have the power to hold the fort until sanity can be restored. And you do not know when that's going to occur. But I'm telling you this, Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. It's not over yet. But it does depend on members of the royal family of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit and growing in grace. And the growing in grace has to do with immutable concepts, ideas, principles, and doctrines infused in the immutable Word of God. So our duty is to keep plugging away. To repeat, this is the devil's world. It has fallen and functions under the rulership of Lucifer. Throughout history, from the fall in Eden to the millennial kingdom of Christ, this rebel angel seeks to propagandize witnesses for the prosecution with his cosmic propaganda. People are buying the propaganda from Lucifer today. He's the witness for the defense, and he's getting Christians to be witnesses for the defense. They are falling in line. Throughout world history, the invisible war has been waged by the dark side, which recruits, trains, deploys, and supports human acolytes. He's a recruiter in the invisible war. Christians are betraying their Savior by not inculcating, then applying the immutable Word of God, yet cowering, fearful. You're not allowed to have the sin of fear. These national entities were originally formed by the Jews as priest nations, however, Lucifer was able to overwhelm the last one when Titus and the Roman army defeated the Jews on August 10th of AD 70. That was the conclusion of the last priest nation. And it was AD. That was 2,000 something years ago. Isn't it interesting how these things occur? 2,000.
Maybe that's the prophecy. You want a prophecy? Maybe it looks like about 2,000 years.
It is of interest following the fall of Jerusalem that over the next two centuries, Christianity began to emerge as a new religion. First, by the Catholics, and over a millennium later came the emergence of the Protestant Reformation, 1500s-ish. See, solid doctrine is only less than 1,000 years old. It was only when those guys in England and et al., other spots as well, like France, sat down with their scriptures and began to realize precisely what was going on historically. And I don't know if they conjured up the idea of a client nation, but they realized that who was running the show as far as Christianity was concerned were not, let's say, delving deeply into the Word of God, but making stuff up on the fly. And so they rebelled. They protested. And in their protestations, we had the Protestant Reformation. Protestant Reformation. And then that started the move westward and wound up here. During this time, Western Europe's advances in New Testament theology resulted in the development of several client nations. The present one in New World America tenuously holds the title in 2022. The stability of believers in client nation United States has been so indoctrinated by the faculties of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics over the past century that Lucifer's recruits are systematically overwhelming believers who have no doctrinal inventory to discern the lie. Lucifer is brilliant. He was a cherub-ranked angel. He got fired, but nevertheless, he's running the show. He is the one that conjured the rebellion. He is the one who actually fomented what has resulted in the appeal against the condemnation to the lake of fire. So he appealed it. And therefore, we were invented to be witnesses for the prosecution. And that would be Adam and Esau ultimately as they were brought into humanity. And then they fell, and now we have this whole process going on. They were witnesses for the prosecution. If they had not fallen, we could still be having just two people, and maybe there's, when all the children came after them. So there'd just be them. Just those two. For eons, it's been a battle between two people and Lucifer. And then they sinned. And then they had to procreate to get new witnesses for the prosecution. Why are you here? Because your original parents failed. You're here because of a failure. And then those people failed, and so the human race is built on failure. I just thought of that. Bunch of failures. And then you procreate, and a new batch of failures, and then another batch of failures. And all of this failing has gone on for an entire millennium, and most assuredly, the concepts going back to the century. It's been a century of this absolute total onslaught by the dark side, and they are very good at it. These guys are brilliant, and they know how to slick tongue people. They know how to send them to church. Go to church, learn about Jesus. And then they get in church and they sing 15 hymns, and the guy gets 20 minutes. And his 20 minutes can't make a dent. You can't exegete a verb in 20 minutes. I'm feeling much better now. It is of interest, following the fall of Jerusalem, that over the next two centuries, Christianity began to emerge as a new religion. First by the Catholics, and over a millennium later came the emergence of the Protestant Reformation. We're going to try to reform things. Good idea. During this time, Western Europe's advances in New Testament theology resulted in the development of several client nations. The present one in New World America tenuously holds the title in 2022. Tenuously. So I can say tenuously because it doesn't look good presently. But we don't have prophecy or the gift of it. So we have to keep plugging away with the idea that we will win this battle in the invisible war. Who are the we's? We's includes those who are willing to keep plugging away in the inculcation of the Word of God. And we can be winners if we never buy into fear. The stability of believers in client nation United States has been so indoctrinated by the faculties of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics over the past century that Lucifer's recruits are systematically overwhelming believers who have no doctrinal inventory to discern the lie. They can't discern the lie because they don't know the difference between the truth and the lie based on biblical exposure. You can slick tongue anybody. The expected result of this current trend is twofold. Number one, rejection by the few who remain positive based on a high inventory of biblical absolutes. That means you've grown in grace. You have a biblical inventory. And two, capitulation by the many who do not have the doctrine to defend their souls and instead apply solutions called that are taught in the Cosmic Academy. Believers go to heaven when they die are being witnesses for the defense. And the peel-off is significant. As a result, believers ignorant of truth, criticize believers who apply doctrinal guidance from the world. Believers ignorant of truth criticize believers who apply doctrinal guidance from the world, from the Word. This circumstance may be defined as a spiritual civil war. The doctrinally ignorant take the high ground in opposition to those who have spiritual discernment. So who's the enemy here? Look, Lucifer gets to be the lead man, lead angel in the for the defense. Okay, we've got that. Who are the representatives for the prosecution? Who are they? Jesus is not here. We've been living. He came. He did his duty. We go to heaven when we die. We believe in him. Now he's in heaven again. The point I'm trying to make here is who did he leave behind to carry on the mission? Those who have placed their personal faith in Jesus Christ, therefore they become witnesses for the prosecution. You can't witness if you don't know what to witness for. That's why we have this problem today. It's been a century in accumulating witnesses for the defense by believers in Jesus Christ. That's what's going on here. You say, well, that's all these heathen. The heathen are not the problem. The problem is with those who are believers in Jesus Christ who are witnessing for the defense. So who is this? You know who they are. They're in your neighborhood, maybe even your neighbor, maybe even your family. What are you going to do with that? You pray for these people. You cannot get yourself in a mental attitude state where you want to criticize people for being wrong. Show them grace. Show them the power of the Word of God. But whatever you do, do not enter into a slobber-swapping contest.
be more sophisticated than that.
The expected result of this current trend is twofold. Rejection by the few who remain positive based on a high inventory of biblical absolutes, and two, capitulation by many who do not have the doctrine to defend their souls and instead apply solutions taught in the Cosmic Academy. As a result, believers ignorant of truth criticize believers who apply doctrinal guidance from the world. This circumstance may be defined as a spiritual civil war. The doctrinally ignorant take the high ground in opposition to those who have spiritual discernment. Yet, God remains as the only lawmaker and judge. He is the one who is able to deliver or destroy. Regardless of the political circumstances in the United States, God is still in charge. And get on His side. How do you do that? Stay in fellowship. Grow in grace. Apply what you know. See, that's the secret. Just apply what you know and keep coming to Bible class. You got a little bit more at the next Bible class. Then apply what you know. Then a little bit more the next Bible class, and got a little bit more. You keep doing this. Keep plugging away. Never, ever fear. The current national decline into reversionism may be hopefully described as a very necessary wake-up call. The question is whether two groups of citizens have enough resident standards that can be awakened to do battle against those who are deconstructing the nation's spirit, sprint into the dark side, therefore is referred to as a new normal. We've got a new normal emerging. These two groups include unbelievers, but who still subscribe to establishment standards within the society, and believers whose doctrinal inventory is being recalled and possibly facilitated. Let's see what I've got here. I want to go back to God knows, and verse 12, which you see on the board, holds the key. There's only one lawgiver and judge. Only He is able to deliver and destroy. Will the chaos reach a critical point when the few enlarge into the many and say, no further? No further. You can't emerge if you don't have the motivation to do so. What interests me is how afraid people are. They will scream at another person because they're not wearing a mask. Okay. Now, it's okay to think, I really think that person should be wearing a mask. But, you know, that's their free will. And that person is wearing a mask, and so I've been told that that insures you against any dread disease. So why do you care whether the person's not wearing a mask or not? Because you're protected, as you know from Dr. Fauci. So if you're protected, then why do you care whether another person's got a mask on or not? I'm just asking the question, you know. It's irrational to be afraid of someone who doesn't have a mask, but you have one. This is called fear. Unnecessary fear. You've been told to wear a mask and you won't get the flu. And another person's not wearing the mask. Look, if you believe that, then leave him alone and let him die. You get shed of him that way. Why would you want him to wear a mask? You want him killed. You want him dead. Why would you do this? Why would you get in the way of him dying? The rationality of all of this is buffaloes me. I was giving an illustration, okay? If you really think, see, he's not wearing a mask, and he's going to die. You don't care whether he dies or not. In fact, you may hope he does. But you're wearing a mask. You have no fear. These two groups include unbelievers, but who still subscribe to establishment standards within the society, and believers whose doctrinal inventory is being recalled and possibly facilitated. Then we go to James 4, verse 12. We noted that. Will the chaos reach a critical point when the few enlarge into many and say no further? We don't know. But James is calling on those in chapter 4 to join the fray. And to join up, one must come back to establishment viewpoint and doctrinal viewpoint. So it's establishment and doctrine. You know how to behave yourself in society, and therefore you're educating yourself on how to think from a biblical viewpoint. In our recent study of the doctrine of reversionism, we were able to establish the principle that those who make up the volitional decision to recognize their involvement in reversionism and then resolve to extricate themselves from its throes of cosmic propaganda can be spiritually rehabilitated. That's what needs to go on. Rather than people wearing their mask and being afraid, wear your mask if you want to, but get in doctrine and have the power of the Word of God to defend your soul in the hostile environment of the present aegis. The process can take well over a year for the most advanced. However, the current test is designed to last for at least 4 years, with only one of them passed. The current test is really only about a year or more old. And Christianity is revealing itself for what it is right now. They are afraid, the theys in Christianity. Somehow the wall of fire is not being applied. Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. You are inside the bubble. You have doctrine. You may get the COVID and die. You may not get the COVID and live. That's the way things work in the hostile environment of the devil's world. Nobody lives through this. We all die. Except for the rapture generation. Some of you are pulling for that. The rapture generation, it can be a bright, sunshiny day and the birds are chirping and boom, we're out of here. Reversionists who are now a year deep into the current rebellion may be getting their minds right. Pray that true patriots resolve to make a comeback, get back to the basic establishment order and or re-involve themselves in doctrinal rehabilitation. That's where Christianity needs to be right now. If you've been afraid up to this point, well, you made it this far. It's over 2 years since all of this began, and you've survived. But what has that done to your spiritual inventory? Fear is not an option. And when you are afraid, that is a personal sin, and therefore your spiritual inventory is in decline. You can't grow in grace if you're afraid. A midterm voter rebellion could potentially quench the uprising with a view toward establishment and doctrinal restoration. Let's note three principles. Principle. There is one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to deliver and destroy. One lawgiver and judge, Christ. Principle. If a believer is in reversionism, he is able to make the personal choice to restore his soul. That's volition. Principle. Contrarily, if the believer persists in reversionism, he will eventually endure the sin unto death. That there's something worse than the sin unto death, I guess you could say, is to be left alive and remain afraid. At least when you die, you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. You stay here, you're still afraid. One of the typical attitudes that reversionist expresses to judge a fellow believer who is growing in grace and that person executing the Spirit-filled life. One of the typical attitudes the reversionist expresses is to judge a fellow believer who is growing in grace and expressing the Spirit-filled life. Verse 12 continues with James's critique, "But who are you who judge your neighbor?" Who are you who judge your neighbor? Why are you judging the neighbor? Well, you may need judging, but you're not in business to do that. If you leave him alone and let Jesus Christ do the judging, then justice will be served. You can observe the guy's out of whack spiritually and mentally, maybe from fear, who knows. But that job is for God in heaven to manage. You get out of the way of that and let God do it. This statement in the Greek carries with it a more powerful criticism than the English translation. The last sentence in the Greek reads, "You who are you." You who are you. That's utis au. The impact of this statement is not a request for information, as the English question would imply, but rather an imperative question of accusation. You, who are you, followed by the pronoun who, which is tis, followed by the verbal sin of the noun krites, which means to judge. You, who are you to judge? At the beginning of verse 12, we observe the word judge with a capital J. And here in the lowercase, James is making the point that God is the only individual who has the authority, power, and justice to judge a believer. Only God can do that. Leave that individual alone. God will take care of business. Now, he will do things his way. There may be things he will choose to do because in his omniscience, he can understand that if this individual has a change of attitude, that he can see the light and get back to where he needs to be. So he's got all the facts. That's omniscience. So in context, the person being examined is a believer in reversionism who is judging another believer who is in context identified as his neighbor. What are you going to do about your neighbor? You're going to use your inventory. Your police department tells you to have integrity toward that individual. That's the royal law. You must have personal integrity in order to stay out of other people's lives. If there's some way you can help, which can occur from time to time, then certainly step forward. Be an assistant, be if someone can be encouragement and so on. But judging is out of the picture. So the person's out of fellowship. You were a week ago Tuesday or whatever. So we've got this. The person being examined is a believer in reversionism who is judging another believer who in context is identified as his neighbor. This is first of all the violation of the royal law. If the neighbor in question is to be judged, then the one to carry out the judgment is God and not this individual. And this would come into view again. I'm not going to read it again because we've done it already this morning. But you have to understand how to apply the royal law. You are not able to do this in any efficiency once saved. This is James chapter 2, verse 8. And you read this and it says to you, apply the royal law. What is the royal law? It's on the right-hand side of the ledger here. Can you do that as a new believer? I submit to you that God does this all day long, every day. And therefore, through James, we are ordered to do that as well. How can we do that? The only way that this system here can work for us is through spiritual growth, to acquire the inventory of ideas that are necessary to be able to manage incoming flak from the dark side, witnesses for the defense who could be in your own family, where you congregate with others, and so on. How is it that you can provide royal law impact in a situation? When you are not God, you've got to go by doctrine, and you've got just so much. The issue has to do with the inventory of ideas that's in the conscience. That's where the police department is. This right here is the system, but it has to have functionality, and you only have functionality when you have doctrine. And the royal law says your doctrine is going to be your guide, and therefore become more powerful in the application of the royal law. You have to keep going to church and growing in grace and increasing your inventory of biblical ideas. And over a period of time, you can manage other people and do so biblically. And the whole concept here is the love. You love the person. The royal law says you love the person. How do you love them? You have to have integrity. Well, integrity just goes so far. What do you know that, what shall I say, aggrandizes your integrity? Well, the justice has to come in here, and that's your conscience. The function of this whole issue is just, God has justice, and he will peel off those who are violating the standards that are immutable. How do you do that? You grow in grace, and in your justice department, you have conscience. The conscience informs you of how to think, make good decisions from a position of power. And the more doctrine you have, the more powerful you are in applying the royal law. That's the only way this system will work. So throughout chapter 4, we have observed the ongoing behaviors of those in context. None of these individuals are qualified to judge anyone about anything. However, each and all do come under the divine scrutiny of the Father. So every believer falls under the principle of the royal law, and this is noted in James 2:8, which we just noted, and here's how it reads. If, this is a protasis of a first-class condition, if you apply the royal law according to the scripture, and there's a quote here, you shall unconditionally love from personal integrity those you encounter. You shall unconditionally love from personal integrity. How do you get the integrity? A big inventory in your conscience of biblical absolutes. And as a new believer, you don't have that. And there are those you encounter, anybody you run into. Anybody. And then honorably, this is the apodosis of the first class condition. Honorably, you must keep on doing this. Keep on doing it. You get better at it as you go. But you keep in mind, my conscience guides me so far. I need more doctrine to be more adept at discerning how to apply the royal law from the inventory of Bible doctrine I have in my soul. And that's why you keep coming to Bible class. You don't stand out on the lawn and smoke cigarettes. Why'd I say that? Because when I was growing up, between Sunday school and church, out on the lawn of the first church, the men would fire up. This was back in the day when everybody smoked cigarettes. Everybody. And on the lawn of the first church, the guys would fire up, which was fine with me, and my dad fired up too. I didn't think anything out of the ordinary about that. But they fired up on the lawn. And some people think they couldn't do the royal law on those cigarettes. It was not called a cigarette, it was a cigarette. And it was scrunch up the face, the ladies would, smoking them cigarettes. Well, it's bad for you, wind up with lung cancer and all of that, so there is an end game to that. My dad smoked picayunes until he was 80 and lived to be 94. A guy told him, if you don't quit smoking them picayunes, you're going to die. A picayune is uncut cancer, by the way. They're made in Turkey. You can still buy them, I guess. But if you want to be a professional smoker, you want to get you some picayunes. And my grandmother would say, picayunes. Knew what brand he smoked. He would not smoke in front of her, his mother. Picayunes. So there are things people are willing to do without even thinking about it. And it was okay because nobody in the upper echelons of the church ever came to any of those guys and said, you know, we don't think this is uncommon. This is horrible what you men are doing, standing around smoking those cigarettes. They were offering the idea of free will. That's what guys do. You're going to tell all of those guys on the lawn to quit smoking them cigarettes. And they get ticked off and don't contribute next Sunday? There's some things you just have to endure. So I don't know whether that was a royal law or not, but that's the way it played out down in lower Alabama. I've bored you long enough. Let's have a prayer, and we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of discussing these things today from your immutable word. We thank you for the royal law. It is instruction to us to use the doctrine we have to be able to apply your immutable word to the circumstances we face, including those who are involved in it. You're the one who controls this. We're the ones who observe. We stay out of trouble by staying inside the bubble. May this be the place where we make the advance and therefore become professional witnesses for the prosecution in the hostile environment of the devil's world. Thanking you for your grace, we'll lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll stand and sing one stanza of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.